fellow Freedom fans. We're back. Federal minimum wage increases today. Today, congratulations to those of you who are employed by the federal government. Is that the question there? Who knows? Federal minimum wage, the least amount that any federal, I guess, contractor or federal employer may pay somebody, today goes to the price of $7.25 an hour, which is extreme poverty. So keep that in mind, young people, if you're going to mow somebody's lawn or something like that, keep in mind. So that's what's going on in minimum wage. We're going to read this article that came in the Central Florida News, cfnews.com, cfnews.com. That's where I got this article. On Friday, it increased to $7.25. Okay, labor officials are predicting the increase will generate an extra $5.5 billion consumer spending during the next year. So the first thing is you think, and I used to think this when I was in the Navy and I was getting a pay raise. Let me tell you, it helped because there were certain costs that were sort of fixed. And so if there were certain costs that were fixed, anytime I got a pay raise because of a cost of living increase, then there were certain things that I thought, well, good, that means my house is more affordable. Well, we know eventually the fixed cost that I have would be mortgage, but it's not completely fixed because there are taxes and insurance and things like that. Ultimately, they'll start going up. So that takes a little bite out of this cost of living increase. But there's some things that were fixed, but very few things were fixed. Some people, if they have a car payment or something, that might be fixed, a certain monthly thing they've got to pay. So when they get more money because of a cost of living increase, and that's effectively sort of what this thing is, then what they do is they say, wow, I've got more spending money. The problem comes is that there are so many things that are not fixed. There's a gallon of milk, a gallon of gas, a bag of potato chips at the local convenience store. Those things, those prices are not fixed. And what are they based upon? They're based upon how much it costs for that business to do business. As soon as somebody in that business, if they're abiding by the federal minimum wage, begins to pay somebody behind the counter that much more money, you know, according to this cost of living increase thing, then what happened is what they're going to do, they have to, they're not going to cut themselves a pay loss. It's not like, oh, you've got a minimum wage increase. Okay, now what we're going to do, since your pay is going to go up, we've got to get it from someplace. What we'll do as a company, we'll make sure our profits go down because that's where the money's coming from. What they do is they try to maintain their profits and they're going to raise the costs. So that's called inflation. That's what the cost of living is based upon. It's based upon inflation. So that's what's going on. Sometimes when you get a cost of, you know, a minimum wage increase, it really is merely more of an indicator that things are going south while the prices are going north. So we'll have to observe to see how this all works. It says a new federal wage will be more than Florida's minimum wage until next year. Florida law, and we're going to be taking a call here shortly, Florida law requires the Agency for Workforce Innovation to calculate a new minimum wage each year on September 30th. We're gonna come back to this and talk about that. But first, I want to take a call. Thank you for calling, caller. Thanks. You're on live on the Eagle 104.3 FM. What's your question or comment?
I wanted to add something to that, David, because I spoke with Senator Hines, who was the senator of Pennsylvania, back in the late 70s, and we used to joke that he's like his ketchup. He's thick, rich, and red, and not around anymore. No great loss. However, one of his arguments was inflation is prices rising. And my argument was that's price inflation. Inflation is you criminals in Washington printing money or increasing the money supply and devaluing every other dollar that's out there. So, in essence, I sort of agree with you, but that you do have to raise prices. But I'm going to kind of disagree to the extent that price inflation, just over one little word there, is actually a reflection of not only printing and devaluing of money, but what you would just describe. And inflation is the government creating more purchasing power, at least distributing that purchasing power from thin air, devaluing the rest. But I'd like to hear your comment on that.
Okay. Well, that's why. Stay with me then, because I might.
I'll stay with you. I'm not going.
Yeah, I might spark something in you. I agree with that, and I was kind of basically dealing with it on a elementary level, and we had to face some of this strange value of the money issue in a federal case I had, because they had to figure out how to pay a lawyer court costs and things like that, or the lawyer's fees based upon a statute that was written 20 years ago, because we had to do the math on how much that money would be worth today or cost today at the same rate. So we had to actually make some adjustments. You're right. And I will tell you, one of the things that has bothered me over the last 10 years is when I look around the earth and I see then when Iraq go, now you're going to see, I'm just an extremist and you might be able to label me as something here, but it's just one of those things where you just observe what's going on. When Iraq goes off the use of dollars as their reserve currency, suddenly they ramped up on their evil nation status. When Argentina abandoned the use of the dollar as their reserve currency, suddenly they're they become more of an evil empire. Iran recently, in the last couple of years, has abandoned the use of the dollar as the reserve currency. Suddenly they, now, you know, whether they're evil or not, it's just their ranking of evil increased coincident with their abandoning the U.S. dollar as the reserve currency for their nation. And I say that, what I realized was now there's all these dollars out on the market that are unused. So now it's something that would cause inflation. When you got all these dollars that nobody wants, that would cause inflation. The other thing I noticed happening was them making Sacagawea dollars and 50 state quarters and things like that. You know, when people say, oh, this is so neat, this is so exciting, it's an inflation fighter, because what they're trying to do is get people to hoard the coins, because somebody up there in the sky is juggling this how much is too much fake money out there on the market, and what can we do to counter it? What are your comments on that?
Yeah, I agree. It's a double-edged sword. You have the IMF and the governments of the world manipulating currency, not allowing the people to use gold and silver. And then you have a situation whereby the politicians want to spend without taxing directly. So they will then go to the Federal Reserve, get a loan, and use us as collateral, thereby devaluing the rest. However, the rest of the world, like China, said, okay, enough is enough. You know, okay, we're all allowed as governments to devalue our currency. And by the way, that's the only reason we went into Iraq. The prime reason was that Saddam, who was a CIA crony, and I don't mind that. I think we need a strong CIA, but they need to be our crony, was turning his back. It was no longer going to accept Federal Reserve notes.
Well, and that's one example.
Once again, even though I don't like the Federal Reserve.
Hey, I'm going to let you be a prophet. I want to get to something. Then I'm going to go to a video, or actually an audio clip, about what you just said. So, but I want you to be a predictor. If the federal government has to find a way to pay for what they're just spent, it just hit me as you said that they're going to have to increase the wages, the minimum wage, so there'll be something out there to take from somebody to pay for it. So be a prophet right now, okay? You've got 8 seconds to pray about it, and hopefully you'll get a divine intervention here. What do you think the minimum wage is going to be in 5 years?
Minimum wage is going to be at least $10 an hour. The only way the feds can do this is by taking at least 50% of the earnings of everyone across the board and redistributing that wealth. They have to stop the water up in the soup.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Thank
good
you,
comments.
Thanks.
Okay, that was kind of strange. A little strange entertainment there. And you know what we just did? This was just two human beings bouncing what occurs to your mind. Now, of course, on this show, we don't want to just go around bouncing apart what occurs in our mind. But at the same time, you know what scientists do? They have hypotheses. Hypotheses. And what they do is they have a theory about the way things work. And they say, well, if that's true, then if this particular thing occurs, then we ought to see the following. It's connecting the dots. It's empiricism, whatever you want to call it. It's trying to find mechanisms that you can figure out what's going on by laying a theory, or actually a hypothesis, out there and testing it and watch where it goes. If you can test it and it shows itself to be true, there's things that you can do, possibly, to prepare yourself for what's coming. It's connecting the dots. In sound acoustic analysis, we called it line integration. Okay, you get down and you look up the line of this sound occurrences and you see if it's going anywhere. And then you make some predictions. So that's what we're doing here on the Faith and Freedom Show. We're doing some strange stuff. But what I'm going to do here, because that comment was brought up here, I'm going to play something by Congressman Al Grayson. And I've got to tune in this thing here. We're going to find out. This is about 3 minutes long. It'll take us right up to the break. But what I want you to do is listen to the kind of things that he says to Mr. Bernanke. And we're going to try to connect the dots. Okay, here we go.
There's a table on page 26, which consists of your balance sheet. And one of the entries on the balance sheet is under assets, central bank liquidity swaps, which shows an increase from the end of 2007 from $24 billion to $553 billion in change at the end of 2008. What's that?
Those are swaps that were done with foreign central banks. Many many foreign banks are short dollars and into our markets looking for dollars and drive up interest rates and create volatility in our markets. What we have done is, with a number of major central banks, like the European Central Bank, for example, we swap our currency, dollars, for their currency, euros. They take the dollars, lend it out to the banks in their jurisdiction. That helps bring down interest rates in the global market for dollars. And meanwhile, we're not lending to those banks. We're lending to the central bank. The central bank is responsible for repaying us.
So who got the money?
To financial institutions in Europe and other countries.
Which ones?
I don't know.
$500 trillion and you don't know who got the money?
The loan went to the loans go to the central banks, and they then put them out to their institutions to try to bring down short-term interest rates in dollar markets around the world.
Well, okay, we're going to stop right there. A little bit of summary. We're going to be going on a break here in a second. These little teeny words that people are using matter, and I'm having to use some critical thinking. As Mr. Bernanke, who's being asked by Florida's 8th District Congressman Alan Grayson, he says, hey, I'm looking at your balance sheet here, and it says that you've increased $12 billion to $553 billion of liquid short-term swaps or something like that, where they give U.S. dollars for euros. Well, how much are the euros worth, by the way? Who's regulating euros? I don't know. Is that what the agent of the Congress, Federal Reserve, is supposed to be doing, swapping euros and things like that? Who runs the value of euros? It's not the Congress, that's for sure. But here's the other thing is, and when I look at it at first, I say, well, that's not a big deal, because he took, let's say, $500 billion U.S. dollars and said, can we have $500 billion of your euros? And so it's like it's an even mix, right? It's like 500 rocks for 500 rocks. But then he said something later that makes us have to stop and think about this. 500 billion euros are meaningless. They're made up from thin air. There aren't anything. There isn't anything. 500 billion U.S. dollars aren't there. It's made up from thin air. And watch what he said. If you continue to listen, he called it, and he kind of slipped and reworded almost, tried to reword, but he said the loan, in other words, we're going to loan you $500 billion from thin air, but you've got to loan us back 500 billion euros from thin air. It's a swap, and then you're going to loan this to somebody else who we don't know. You are going to manage our U.S. loan. You're not held accountable by us, and neither are those people that you're loaning the money out to. This is a concern of those who are paying attention. I haven't had any Kool-Aid lately. So we're going to come back on this Faith and Freedom Show, and check us out on the web at faithfreedoms.org.